I'm going to switch things up a little bit and save my reading for the end of the sermon. Like our blessing for our leaders, the final reading is also a blessing by the same author, poet John O'Donohue, from this beautiful book called To Bless the Space Between Us. This is a book that was released of blessings after he died. And I've been using this book for much of my spiritual reflection this summer. I can't seem to put it down. Its words sing off the page and into my heart. And I've shared some of his words already with some of you in our groups and retreats together as we've started the year. But you cannot have too many blessings in life. They bear repeating and often. So some of you will hear the words again today. Not only does John O'Donohue suggest that anyone can give a blessing, anyone, he also shares that blessing is a way of life, a lens through which the whole world is transformed. Here is what he writes. In the parched desert of postmodernity, a blessing can be like the discovery of a fresh well. It would be lovely if we could rediscover our power to bless one another. I believe each of us can bless. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. Some of the plentitude flows into our hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. Hear that again. Some of the plentitude flows into our hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. My family and I sold our home in Burbank way back in June. It feels like eons ago now. And we visited family in Tucson, Arizona, and my husband and I got to go to General Assembly together, and we finally made our move here to Boise in August. So I have had a lot of time and space to reflect on this transition, on this new beginning. And so have all of you. You have had years, really. From the time of Elizabeth's announcement of her retirement through your 2-year interim process. And that's really what the interim time is about, to give yourself that space and time to reflect on the past, the present, the future, and imagine what a new beginning might look like with a new minister. And some of you are brand new to this wonderful congregation. Some of you have been attending for just weeks and months. There's a few of you I met who were here for your first time when I was here candidating back in April. You summon the courage to chart your own beginning and step into a new opportunity, a turning point in your life, to come into this community. I suspect you've been doing your fair share of reflection too. And so now the moment is here. We are beginning together. And I don't want to get all swept up in the work and business of church life and meetings and agendas and reports and policies and forms that we forget to honor and celebrate and bless this moment of beginning. Because a new beginning is one of those moments in life when we embark on a new path, however slight. And we find ourselves in new territory, navigating new changes and the unknown. These are the moments that John O'Donohue refers to as life's thresholds. These thresholds aren't just big moments. They include all of the small, sometimes overlooked moments of life. Moments like absence, belonging, beauty, and loneliness. Sharing a meal together, and waking up in the morning. These thresholds, these states of our heart, often cry out for a blessing. But we Unitarian Universalists are not used to this practice. We might feel some resistance to this concept. We don't bless every moment of life. That's for other people. But that's really O'Donohue's point is that blessing is for all of us. It creates deeper connection and greater expansiveness in our lives. And it is a learned practice. But when we take the time to do it, we often change our experience of that tenuous, unfamiliar territory into one of invitation, where the blessing serves as a ritual to protect, to encourage, and to guide us as we cross over into the new and the unknown, into that threshold. The beauty of beginnings is that they are ever present. Not only are we embarking on a new beginning together, but beginnings are happening in our individual lives all the time. New jobs, new family members, new leadership positions. Maybe you've taken up a new hobby, or maybe your child has gone off to college and you're adjusting to that new way of life. Our national and global consciousness also seems to be on the precipice of another new beginning. Between the Black Lives Matter movement calling us to examine our identities and deeply held systemic prejudices, to this refugee crisis pushing us to ask what it really means to welcome the stranger, to moving forward fully into national marriage equality. Life is always presenting us with the opportunity to begin again. And so it's also fitting, I think, to talk about beginnings at this particular time of year, during the Jewish High Holy Days. We are in the middle of the Days of Awe, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when Jews are invited into a time of introspection. They examine where they've gotten off track, who they may have wronged, and they begin a process of reconciliation and atonement before their names are sealed into one of God's books. All of this inner work is done so that they can honor their mistakes, seek and give forgiveness, and begin again with a whole new year and a clean slate. And yet beginning is one of the hardest things to do. My Jewish grandmother would say that even the most devout Jew might have a hard time wiping the slate totally clean, that we all schlep some leftover guilt and doubt with us into every new beginning. I think she's right. There is that old adage that says the hardest part of beginning is to begin. We often put up so many barriers to just taking that first step. As a youth and young adult, I was always one of those people who like to know expectations and desired outcomes first. I was often reluctant to try something new unless I knew I would be good at it, that I could guarantee some moderate success before trying. I wanted a roadmap and strategies and benchmarks and a plan. Now, I'm not saying that these things are not important. They are very important. They are great tools that we ought to employ in life. But I had allowed myself to use them as a crutch. I had allowed these tools to become blinders. Blinders to exploration and experimentation, to awe and wonder, to discovering that tiny hidden path, and not just wondering where it leads, but taking it to find out. I clung to the fallacy of the right way, that's right with a capital R, because I did not want to mess up. Who does? I'm sure none of us want to mess up. I'd somehow allowed myself to believe that messing up meant failure, that beginning right was the only path to success. And yet I know, intellectually, I've heard and I've read that messing up is critical to success. All the famously successful people will tell you that. They will tell you that they learned more from their failures than from their successes. There exists this tension in beginning between the playful, childlike enthusiasm for new things on the one hand and that deep-seated conspiratorial fear on the other, that fear of failure and isolation, that we're beginning alone, that fear that we will mess up, that we will get hurt, that people will disappoint us. Those fears pull at us. They pull at us to remain within safe boundaries, to remain the same. But here is one of the few truths I know for sure. Like our little stream from last week's Story for All Ages, whether we begin or not, we cannot remain the same. And we will mess up. We just will. It's human nature, and people will disappoint us, and we will get hurt. I'm here to tell you, friends, that I, your minister, will mess up. Okay, that was a big deal right there. I don't like to be vulnerable, remember? But I will, and I will probably disappoint you. But the blessing comes in what we do in those moments. How do we repair? How do we stick around when life gets messy? Even here where we aspire to be a beloved community, I will mess up, you will mess up, we will disappoint each other. Because here's one of those safe spaces where we're working on what it means to be human. And I don't think any of us have that figured out 100% just yet. And this working on being human stuff, it gets messy and scary sometimes. And so we often have this tendency to play it safe. So what do we do in those moments? How do we find the blessing amidst the disappointment and failure? What we give up in those moments of playing it safe and allowing expectations and outcomes and hurt and disappointment to become blinders, what we give up is learning and joy. We give up a freedom to step outside the moment and ask ourselves, what did we learn from this mess up? And then change our course and begin again without judgment. Instead, we like to assign blame and we tend to try to fix things and we work really hard when we might as easily just step back and say, wow, that didn't work. Or I really screwed that up. Or I wonder what we might do differently next time. And just notice and learn and adjust and maybe even laugh. Because let's not overlook laughter and fun as important tools for success. And then we begin again. So what happens if we let go of the idea that beginning is inherently risky and instead make risk our greatest ally? If we embrace the risk, what changes? What new approaches and opportunities open up? That's where the blessing comes in. See, a blessing in its very form is invitational. It uses often the language of may we or may I, and it invites us to be changed by the risk. We name the creative possibilities above the obstacles. And by the virtue of it being a blessing, we are ritualizing the moment, assigning it spiritual significance, lifting it out of ordinary time to say, this moment means something. It is bigger than my individual self. That is the beauty of being part of this faith community, of one like us. We give ourselves permission to take life's thresholds, the ordinary and the extraordinary, the momentous and the mundane and even the messy, and fill them with meaning, with affirmation, with sacredness, with blessing. This is my great hope for us as a faith community, that the blessings we offer each other today and beyond, because a blessing can fit into any moment if we create the space for it, that these blessings invite us into a beginning full of creative possibilities, full of playfulness and experimentation. I think we did that really well last week. Into beginnings full of laughter and joy and fun. And most of all, full of forgiveness and compassion when we mess up, with permission to begin again and again. So, my friends, hear these words of blessing for our new beginning. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises of sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always be like this? Then delight. When your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is one with your life's desire. Awaken to your spirit of adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. May it be so. Amen. Let us take a moment of shared silence to sit with our blessings this morning. Perhaps the art of harvesting the secret riches of our lives is best achieved when we place profound trust in the act of beginning. May we find the blessings in all the beginnings of our lives, full of passion, joy, and promise, full of the fire of commitment, ready with forgiveness when it's needed, again and again. Submit yourself to the risk of true becoming. Shalom, salam, namaste, hallelujah. We extinguish the flame of our chalice, but not the flame of love, the light of truth and justice. Go in peace.